Honey and Frank show. Got Paul Stanley and Michael Zislis in here talking about the grand opening and official ribbon cutting ceremony of Rock and Brew Restaurant at Terminal 5 at LAX. It's going to be this Thursday at 10:30 a.m.
This is the best Tuesday ever on the Heidi and Frank show. Wouldn't you agree?
They brought in the Rocktoberfest brew.
Delicious.
And pretzels and
with beer cheese.
I mean, this is like.
We come bearing gifts.
You do.
We can come back
anytime you guys want.
Now, Michael, at the restaurant, Rock and Brews, and I'm looking at this big mug, which I love. It's heavy. You feel like you're getting your money's worth here. How many beers in this thing?
That is a liter, so that's 3 beers.
Okay, so I go in and I order a liter, and this is what I get.
That's
3
about
beers.
34 ounces.
Oh my God.
It's going to be one of them shows.
I got a feeling, yeah. Yeah.
Go big or go home.
That's true. We always go big, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask Paul about when he lost his virginity and the story behind it, but then I was looking at Michael's bio here, and it says when you got into the beer world, you were 13 years old. You broke your virginity with beer at 13.
Both the same year, actually.
Oh, really? For you, too?
All right.
Well, beer helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That's what got me laid. No.
Probably did. No, I see here is at 13, that's when you brewed your first beer for a science experiment in school.
That's what I told my parents. But yeah,
that went over big.
Yeah,
right?
it did. Actually, at 13, they changed a law in America that you could homebrew when I was 13.
Okay.
And I saw it in the back of a popular science magazine while I was at my orthodontist, and I mailed away a $16 check from the postman, and I got a beer kit and told the parents it was a Moss experiment, and I was fermenting beer in the garage.
That's awesome.
And you've been doing,
you know,
restaurant tour and
brewery stuff. Yeah,
since.
I opened my first brewery when I was in college. I went to USC, and I dropped out to open Manhattan Beach Brewery. So I've opened a lot of breweries, probably about 140 around the world.
We're going to be very, very close friends.
Good friends. And then I opened up some great restaurants, Rockin' Fish, The Strand House, Shade Hotel. And when I met Gene and Paul and the Ferrano brothers, Dave and Del Ferrano, they're the famous concert promoters who put together all this imagery in the restaurants. I mean, all this, they're the kings of licensing. So we all kind of got together, and I had the restaurant beer background. These guys brought the rock and roll, and we thought we'd do a who doesn't like rock and roll and beer. So, I mean, really, honestly, beer and classic rock just go together on a sunny day like nothing else.
And so the first one you opened up was in El Segundo, right? The very first rock and
brew? First one was in El Segundo, and actually it was a test one. We did a test first. It was successful. We tore it down and built a whole new restaurant. And then from there, we've got 4 open now. So we've got Cabo San Lucas.
Uh-huh.
We've got Redondo Beach, Rock and Brews PCH. The airport is open now, so anybody's going to the airport, Terminal 5 Delta. And you can take a tunnel from Terminal 6 and Terminal 4. So I've been able – I flew out on a different airline last weekend, and I ran over and popped a few those liters there for you.
How many of these can you drink, Michael?
The record, while not driving, of course.
Right.
Yes, of course.
By being safe.
Every year I have an Oktoberfest birthday, which happens to be this Sunday, actually.
Okay.
And 7 liters is my record.
All right, let's see if I can't break that
before
10 a.m.
Okay, so that's what math serves, 21 beers.
21 beers.
In like a sitting.
It's a long sitting. It's like eating at the French Laundry. It's like a 5-hour sitting.
You got with a pro here, Paul. Good, yeah, he knows his beer and his food.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless. I can't compete with that.
The Virgin story.
That's what
I thought you.
For.
I thought you were. I thought we had.
No,
over that.
If you want to think back to the time when you were deflowered,
it was a long time ago. Actually, I impressed a girl by killing a dinosaur.
Drug her back by her hair. Yeah.
It was easy to kill because it was a T-Rex and he couldn't really fight back.
Yeah. The age? Yeah. How old were you?
I was a late bloomer. I was 17.
Okay.
But I made up for lost time very quickly.
I'm guessing you probably
had some opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of naive and I never understood that all these women and girls and neighbors, I thought they were just being friendly.
Mm.
And once that bell went off in my head, I went, there's more here than meets the eye. So I became very friendly with my neighbors and school girls, and It's been fun.
At 17, though, did you know? Because I was also 17. It was 9 days before my 18th
birthday.
Now
I remember.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm the dinosaur. Yeah. No, but I was like 9 days before my 18th birthday. And for me, it was like everyone had already done it. I mean, to now I think of a 17-year-old. I think that's so young. You're a baby of time. But yeah,
I think there's 17 and a grandma on MTV right now. I think it's a new
it's
show.
Probably true. Yeah, so and I lost mine on a black lacquered waterbed.
Wow.
With mirrored ceilings. Yes, so I saw it happen. It was awful.
Yeah, those water beds were you know, kind of touted as something they really were.
But not good for sex.
They're awful for sex.
Yeah.
It is just not. There's nothing to push on. You need a little
resistance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's have some resistance.
Were you at home in your house?
No, I was actually, I was working as a busboy in a camp upstate that was very much like Dirty Dancing. You know, that kind of environment. And, you know, the staff was on one side of the road and the hotel was on the other side. And one of the waiter's girlfriends was in his room and he was off at work.
Oh.
And I just decided today's the day.
Was she older than you?
Yes, she was.
How much older?
I'd say about 5 years older than
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back then was.
Oh, Polly.
Yeah, you know.
So she kind of led the way. I mean, you knew you wanted it and you got
I mean, quite honestly, I didn't even know, you know, if I was in the right. You know, I mean, I didn't know what it was supposed to be like, quite honestly. So I was just, is this it? You know?
So, that's what's so it's so funny. We always talk about this with people, and for the most part, that's what all of us say. It's like, I don't get what the big fuss is about. Everybody's talking about this. I don't think it was that great. And then three or four times in, you're like, oh, I can't.
Well,
that.
No matter what
awesome.
I thought about it afterwards, I went, I want to do this again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm going to form a rock band and do it every.
Yeah, yeah.
I want two or three times.
I want to do this before and after every show.
Yes.
So yeah, looking at your extensive resume of women that you've been with, when you remember the first.
My
one,
God,
was she?
He's living
Stern?
Through you.
Well,
he's living
I'm
through
saying,
you.
Was she something that you would like that you like remembering? I mean, it's like it's a fond memory. She was attractive. She was like, she still glows.
Well,
to you.
It's kind of like, you know, the gun that goes off when you first start the race that you ultimately won. You know, the race has been more fun maybe than the start. You know?
How old are your kids?
I have a 19-year-old who's at NYU in the Tisch music program.
Oh, wow.
And then I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
My God, Paul
yeah.
Stanley.
What is the goal musically for the 19-year-old?
He's a brilliant guitar player. I mean, just brilliant and a terrific songwriter and a terrific singer and an A student and a great guy. I mean, he's my idol. I'd like to be like him.
Oh, that's a really cool thing to say.
Did you give Gene Simmons a call the other night about his Star Spangled Banner that he sang in London? Did you see the clip of that?
I did not.
You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, come on. You got to call him up about that stuff. Because I guess he said he had his sore throat, and then he had like a choir behind him, and it wasn't like mic'd right or something. And he was in London. It was an NFL game, and he was singing, and I didn't know he even had it in him to sing like that.
Gene's been in here a couple of times.
Did you hear me sing the Star Spangled Banner at the Dodger game? That is something that's worth YouTubing. You know, go on YouTube.
Go on YouTube, look it up.
Yeah.
Is it a hard song to sing,
oh,
though?
It's very, hardest. Very
right.
hard.
Because then if you realize, if whoa, I
that
started
first
too
note,
high.
You're like, oh, I started too high.
Well,
oh.
The best thing you can do is, oh, because no matter how low you start, you're, I mean, you can't win.
No matter how good a singer, it's a hard song.
You know
song
why everybody changes the melody? Because they can't sing it.
Right,
you
yeah.
know? But for God's sakes, if you're going to sing the national anthem, respect it and do it the way it's supposed to be done. I mean,
then if you forget the words, I mean, yeah, that's
yeah.
Death.
It's funny because you could sing that every day for the rest of your life in school or on the job, and the day you have to sing it for a crowd and you're under that scrutiny, you know, the words just go out the window.
Have you ever forgotten the words to your own stuff when you're on stage?
Well, I'm lucky because if I sing the wrong words, then the people in the audience just think they don't know the words.
I always thought it was
Love Gum.
I heard the trick was when you see the singer put the microphone to the crowd, he probably forgot.
Well, no, you know, I have that's one of my pet peeves because, you know, some singers will remain nameless. Mm. You know, when they start going like this, I go, no, I paid $100. You sing. You
right,
sing
I'm not
it.
Singing.
Yeah, I'm not singing. You sing.
Like
have you been to someone else's concert recently?
Let's see. Who's the last person? I can't remember the last show I saw. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Stones. I
Oh, here, yeah. When they were here in L.A.?
Yeah,
Who do you like?
Life is a blur.
Yeah. Who do you like right now? Like, who do you look at and go, yeah, that's somebody who's going to make it?
You know, Foo Fighters, you know, I mean, they're not new, mm-hmm. but at least they're of a newer crop. I hate to say it, but the book's already been written. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the Beatles and Led Zeppelin wrote the book, and everybody else, if they're lucky, write a page. You know, so everybody's at their best moment sounds like one of the classic bands. That's why classic music is so important. It's been around so long. It's because it's great. You know, it's like your favorite pair of blue jeans. You can go to, you know, all kinds of fashion and fad, but ultimately you find your way back to, you know, something that's tried and true.
The standards.
Like Rockin' Brews, ladies and gentlemen.
Rockin' Brews, yes. Paul Stanley, hang out with us. Have you had an artist come up to you and say that you were the influence on their career?
Many, you know, and it's very satisfying to know that bands and artists that have been influenced by us don't necessarily sound like us. You know, when you have a Lenny Kravitz or you have a Garth Brooks, you have people who are far from what you do. I think being influenced by a band doesn't mean imitating them, but it means being inspired by them and finding your own path.
As far as being like, yeah, the super energetic, entertaining front man that just basically sucks that crowd in. And then Garth Brooks, like you mentioned him, taking that to country music and being like, you know, the artist of the year and putting on concerts. You've been to
several,
concerts,
and that
and
man
he puts
works.
On a show and know that, you know, you were influencing Garth Brooks across, you know, genres. Just, you know,
it's great.
Yeah.
You know, and look, I didn't invent the wheel. I only tried to put my own spin on it because, I was influenced by, you know, Robert Plant, Steve Marriott, a lot of the classic British blues rock singers. I just wanted to be a kind of like a rock and roll singer crossed with a televangelist. You know, I wanted to preach holy rock and roll to the church of the arena.
I said,
yeah.
I want to rock it all night. I want to party every day.
You're going to put me out of work.
Was there ever a time where you hated to do the face makeup?
Never, you know.
Where you're like, oh, I just want to go out tonight. I don't feel like sitting here and doing all
this. I mean, we honestly had, what was it, about 14 or 15 years without the makeup.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you win the lottery, you don't complain about taxes, you know. I mean, if that was what got us to where we were, how could we complain about it? It's it makes people happy. It makes me happy. I'm proud of the legacy we have. And
did you ever one night just to screw with people go, you put mine, I'll wear yours. We'll still do the same, you know, guitar, you sing, but we'll mess
it up.
People are like,
I could have swore he had the star. No, wait, what?
The makeup is sacred.
Okay.
Yes, we
don't mess with the makeup.
Was there another option you thought of doing before you went with yours?
At one point, when I was experimenting, I thought about a ring around my eye like Petey, the dog from The Little Rascals. You know, but as much of a dog as I was, I felt more like a star.
Paul Stanley, thank you so much for coming in. Anytime you want to come back.
Pleasure. I will be back, like it or not.
The grand opening and official ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Rock and Brew Restaurant is open right now, but this is just a ceremony. The grand opening is on Thursday at 10:30 a.m., LAX, Terminal 5. If you're flying out of LAX, definitely go to Rock and Brew. If you're out in El Segundo, or is that, was the other, Redondo?
We're having Rocktoberfest in Redondo Beach, El Segundo.
Cabo.
In Cabo.
Yeah.
Keep us posted on your new locations, and I like how it's associated with Wounded Warriors and everything. You're doing great.
We
got to
do an event.
Paul.
We got to do an event
Let's do an event.
Everybody.
Can we do a party place?
We'll bring the leaders. You bring the mics.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Let's do a show there or something.
I'm in.
That'd be awesome. Thank you so much, Paul Stanley. We're going to take a break.
Pleasure.
And you, Michael Zitz, let's thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to take a break. Come right back. We are Heidi and Frank. Come back to 95.5KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these. And to get the entire Heidi and Frank show, go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.